I want to cover a couple of different things. Number one is cash. Where do we get the cash? Because I know that's in the back of everybody's mind. Pardon me?
From you.
Yeah, from me. When I write down that I buy houses cash, do you think I go to the closing with a suitcase? That's right. My 007 suitcase. Handcuffed to me. This is the deal. I go in and I tell them I'm going to buy cash, okay? I have a contingency on there that I want an appraisal done on the property and that it's going to value out to what I think it should value out at. That gets me around the mortgage contingency clause because if I am getting financing from a bank, the bank's going to do an appraisal, and if the appraisal doesn't come in, it's not going to go forward, okay? Number one. Number two, the seller doesn't care whose cash I'm bringing. I'm just bringing cash. So it's not necessarily my cash. I very rarely ever pay with my own cash. I don't want to. It's invested in other properties. And I don't want to take out my own cash if I don't have to. If I have to close quickly on a property, and the only thing I can do is take out my own cash, I will. So I get cash from private money. I get cash from hard money lenders. And I get cash from banks. Three places I get my cash. Private money is the best money to get. And I told you about the tape with Alan Cogwell in the How to Estimate and Renovate Houses course. It's the easiest money, it's the cheapest money. You don't have to pay any points and you can negotiate the interest rate. And it's always there. Once you start using people's private money, they're like, don't you have any more houses you can put my money into? And then they start telling their friends about it too. So they tell their friends that they're getting this great return through you. And it kind of snowballs. So they become your own sales force. The reason that, you know, when I first started out, I didn't use that I buy houses cash. And I told you, I lived in a three-room apartment, and I bought my next house through a pre-foreclosure or foreclosure. Well, that's not the house I wanted originally. The house I wanted originally was the next town over. And the guy was selling it for $65,000, which was cheap. And it had a huge barn, and I could meet all my guys in there, and I could put all my landscaping and my construction stuff in there. So I went in and I offered him $65,000 contingent upon the mortgage and the home inspection. Well, he called me up and he said, I thought he was calling me up to accept my offer. He called me up and said he accepted somebody else's offer. I said, somebody else offered more? He said, no, somebody else offered $64,000, but they're paying cash. I said, oh. So I went to my investors club the next meeting. One of the other investors were in there telling about this great deal that he just got in Holbrook. Big barn. We put all this stuff in there. And I said, hey, you told that guy you were offering him cash. I said, I did. I didn't tell him it was going to be my cash. So I learned a lesson. He went, he got his money from a hard money lender, and he went in and he gave him the cash. The seller doesn't look at the check and say, did this come from your bank account? Or did this come from somebody else's bank account? They don't care. They just want to know that they're getting the cash at closing. So that's why, from that moment on, I offered cash. And now I can pay cash if I have to, but before when I couldn't pay cash, I knew I had my financing in place so I could offer cash. That's the other caveat. Get your financing in place. Either get it through your private lenders, line up some hard money lenders. If you're not sure where to find those, find some good real estate attorneys and ask them who the hard money lenders are. They know. Yep.
I think one thing you have to watch with the private lenders is you could set up the fact that they're going to lend to you, but then you come across a house 2 months later and you go to approach them regarding getting the funds and they've actually lent out all the money that they had when they last spoke to you.
Well, that's why you need a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, get a bunch of private lenders and then you'll have a never-ending source of cash. And then if you can't find private money, you can't find hard money right now at the beginning, get pre-approved by the banks. Go to the bank, get pre-approved, run your credit through there, and then you know you have a pre-approval. And that's what, if you're going through a realtor, that's what they're going to be looking for. Or they're going to be looking for some sort of proof of funds. And you're going to get your proof of funds from your bank, your private investor, or your hard money people. They'll all write you a letter stating that you have the funds available.
Can you touch briefly on what kind of rates to expect from a hard money and a private lender?
You know, anybody listening to this tape is going to know that this was done in New England. Hard money lender. The rates that you should expect from a hard money lender are anywhere from 12 to 20%, normally 15 to 20. I say 12 because I actually got a guy down Cape Cod that gives me my money for 12% with 1 point, which is great. That's not so hard. But 15%, anywhere from 3 to 5 points. I've seen as high as 10. But you know what? That's cheaper than partnerships, because what's a partnership? 50-50. And 10 points is 10% of whatever the loan amount is, not of, that could go either way. What about my own cash? Not, the question is, what about your own cash? Don't you need some of your own money to go through the hard money lenders? Some you do, some you don't. Find the ones that you don't, if you don't have any money. At the beginning, you won't have any money. You'll go after partners, and you'll go after different ways to find that money to get into the deal. Credit cards, equity on a property. You know, when I got that house, that pre-foreclosure, the first thing I did was I took out a $50,000 equity line and started using that for down payments too. So for your own cash, go and do whatever you have to do the first couple of deals, and then save your money. Don't go out and blow it. Get yourself something nice. Reward yourself, folks. Anytime you do a deal, reward yourself. But it doesn't have to be a Humvee. You know, go out and get yourself some nice clothes or a nice dinner, and then keep piling the money back in the business. And it took me 3.5-4 years, and I was able to do what I want when I want. Over here first.
Can you get an equity line on land that you own, as opposed to your
single family
home?
Can you get an equity
home?
Line on land? I'm not sure. That's a good question. I've never tried. Edgar.
You were talking on a equity loan, and you use that for your down payment.
Yes.
And then you just mortgage the rest.
That's right. I took the equity line from my property and mortgaged the rest. Now, I only did that on properties that I knew I was either going to flip or refinance, because I wanted that money back to pay off my equity line so I didn't have a continuous balance over there. So in my equity line, I was continuously taking it out and putting it back in, taking it out and putting it back in.
I want to do that on a property that I'm looking at right now. It's a repair job, though. I have to fix it up. Would that be a wise way of doing that?
You want to take money out of your equity line for a rehab?
I want to take the money for the equity, or a couple of bucks out of the equity, to put down for a down payment with money from the bank for the rest of the mortgage, rehab it, and then sell it off.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I use my equity line for rehabs. And I use the equity money, too, for the rehab money a lot of times. Here's the beauty about your private funds, too, is you, not only do they give you 100% financing, which the hard money lenders will give you about 65% or 75%, but they'll also give you all the money you need to rehab the property, too. So you get all the money to buy and all the money to rehab. Nothing has to come from you, and you get it at a decent interest rate with no points. You should really go after private money.
One point about that is no matter how good a deal you get, if you go to a bank and you buy a $100,000 house for 70 grand, they're going to loan you based on 70 grand. The hard money lenders, they don't care what you buy it for. They care what it's worth. So if you get a great deal, even if they're only paying 70%, it's 70% of what it's worth the day you buy it and not the purchase price. So really, you can get 100% financing with private lenders. Or even money at the, cash back at the closing if you get a really good deal.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to hear a good one? A student of mine just called me last night, as a matter of fact. He's up in my hotel room. He's got a 42-unit apartment complex in Detroit. He's buying it for $700,000. The P&S is for $800,000. He's getting $100,000 back at closing, and inside the P&S is stipulated that the seller is going to do $200,000 worth of repairs. Is that a deal or is that a deal? 42 units for about $500,000. Those deals are out there.
Another thing you can do, if you do have the cash to do a small deal yourself and you take back the first, you can sell it and turn that note into cash and go to your next deal. If you've got enough capital to do the first deal yourself, you can roll it over quickly and grow your business that way, as opposed to burying your capital there for an indefinite period of time. There are people that buy those.
Yeah, note buyers all the time. That's a good point. Yeah, they buy at a discount. One more and then we're going to go on.
What kind of a portfolio do you put together to present to private investors to get them to invest in you?
You definitely have your credibility kit there. You tell them about your company. You have different slides about what you're going to be doing with the money. or it could be a flip chart, or it could be a presentation. And it's basically all about you, and you've got to prove to them that you're a good risk. And the whole meeting is all about reducing your risk. And you're even going to tell them that you've got, if you die, you've got an insurance policy that's going to cover all the outstanding cash. You've got, that's going to be a question in their mind. You've got to answer that. All right, let's go to trade shows. You can have a trade show, and you can get a booth. And if you get a booth, you should have something there that will help you to stand out, like a popcorn, a different color balloon that you're giving people, so when people go around, they see this balloon, they know they can only get it from your booth. But I don't think that getting a booth at a trade show is probably your best use of the space there. I think if you own a real estate brokerage company and you had a booth there, you could also put up your We Buy Houses. Or if you had another company, then you went to a trade show with some sort of construction, you could also joint that with We Buy Houses. But I don't think it's worth your time or money to actually just go in and get a booth that says We Buy Houses, unless you're in a real serious buyer's market. But I'll tell you what they are good for. They're good for walking around and dropping those cards everywhere, which I do every year. And the next one's right down the street in February, down at the Bayside. And the first year I did it, I got a property in Connecticut that was worth over $800,000 that the guy wanted. And I was scared because I didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't do anything with it. That's how scared I was. But I've had more people call me from just walking around those places and dropping those cards, because those people either do one or two things. They're looking for ways, just like the Home Depot, they're looking for ways to fix up their house to sell, or they're looking for ways to fix up their house to keep. And you only need a couple of them that are looking to sell. If you go to the real big trade shows, you got to be prepared to get calls from people from everywhere. So trade shows are another avenue. If you're not doing anything in a weekend, also they're nice to go in and check out and see what the newest trends are in home repair.
Trade shows, you mean home shows?
Home shows, yes, home shows. Coupon mailers. We talked about coupon mailers a little bit earlier. They're not the greatest thing. Although, if you do go in a coupon mailer, your coupon mailer should really mimic your card.
No.
Your coupon mailer should mimic your business card. Okay? It should have a direct response piece on it. So you can track it. So you can tell the girl when she comes back and says, oh, you got to put it in there for 3 months so people can see you and they'll get used to you and then they'll stop doing business with you. Get a direct response piece in there on that coupon mailer. Some areas they work great. Some areas they don't work at all. They're going to try to sell you into a 3-month contract. Get the 1-month deal. Offer a free bonus somehow. What's a free bonus? Free special report? I know a guy who gives out $10 watches. And he doesn't tell him it's 10 bucks. Tell him it's a free watch. Call me up, I'll give you a free watch. Sure, some people call just for the watch. That's okay. Some people call and they get a deal. How about a free pizza? I've used that one and it works great. From the local real pizza chain, I get the coupons. I bring it over to them. I hand them the coupon and I work it out with the pizza place that I only get charged for the coupons that get redeemed. And that's a key if you're going to do that. Don't be paying for all the 100 coupons. Pay for 100 pizzas. Because 50% at least are not going to be redeemed after you give them to the people. You want the telephone number on there to be area code specific. And also, you can be zip code specific. If you want to buy multifamily properties in a specific zip code, that coupon mail can go directly into that area. You can reach a large amount of people in a short amount of time. And again, don't let them sell you on repetition. Coupon mailers are probably one of the last things I'd do if I was thinking about going out and starting up a marketing campaign. But it is something that's out there, and if you've got some money you want to throw at something to see if it's working, because you should always be checking to see what's working and what's not working.